Welcome to the Rich Thoughts Podcast, where our goal is to glorify God and terrify the devil. Get ready. It's going to be a great journey.
Good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast.
I'm Harold Herring, and that's my fine wife, Beth. One of the most popular television shows over the past 19 years has been Survivor. Yesterday, we started talking about seven people we don't want on our Survivor Island. Same kinds of folks. Well, anyhow, we're going to do a brief review and then we'll pick it up. Number one, takers. Takers are self-centered, selfish, and believe that everyone else exists just for their benefit. The devil's the greatest taker of all. He comes to steal your potential, kill your dreams, and destroy your future. 2 Corinthians 10:3-5 is the prescription to overcome the taker.
Hallelujah. Number two, the drainers. A drainer is negative about everything and everybody, smothering your hope, your optimism, your enthusiasm. They like to do that wherever they find it. It even feels like drainers can suck the oxygen out of a room or a conversation. We need to guard ourselves against things that will emotionally and spiritually drain us, such things as worry, fear, anxiety, doubt, and those can come up, especially amidst adverse circumstances. But in Galatians 6:9 in the Classic Amplified, we like that version. It offers encouragement on how to overcome the drainers.
Number three, the moochers. 2 Thessalonians 3:10-12. 2 Thessalonians 3:10-12, English Standard Version. For even when we were with you, we would give you the command. If anyone is not willing to work, let him not eat. For we hear that some among you walk in idleness, not busy at work, but busy bodies. No such persons we command and encourage in the Lord Jesus Christ to do their work quietly and earn their own living. Notice this verse says, if anyone is not willing to work. It doesn't say if a person cannot work. But truthfully, begging has become an art form in today's society. Now let's pick up where we left off yesterday.
Number four, the doubters. In Numbers 13, 12 men were personally chosen by Moses to spy out the promised land. 10 of them came back with a negative report with stories about fortified cities and giants. The 10 spies even said in Numbers 13:33, and there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. So we were in their sight. That last half of the verse tells us the whole story. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. So we were in their sight. Wow, you could preach a sermon on that one alone. The 10 spies, by their own admission, saw themselves as grasshoppers compared to the giants, who came then to view the children of Israel the same way that they saw themselves. In reality, the 10 spies were doubting God, who told the children of Israel that he would give them that land flowing with milk and honey. So many times, too many times, we allow the truth of the word to be minimized in our lives because we doubt God will do it for us. What he says in his word, that he will do. However, things were different with Caleb and Joshua, praise the Lord, who saw beyond the giants to the promise of the land God was giving them. Because in Numbers 13:30, it says, Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it. We are well able to conquer it. He knew the power of his God. Caleb and Joshua did not doubt, they believed. 12 saw the same things, but only two of them saw it differently, and as a result, were ultimately able to enter the promised land. Harold and I have often quoted F.F. Bosworth, from his book, Christ the Healer, when he says faith and doubt cannot live in the same house. And Harold made up an anagram of faith that I really like. It says, and you might even want to write it down, F-A-I-T-H, forward action inspired through him. You know, forward action is the evidence of our faith. It's action. Inspired is the motivation of our faith, and through him is the power behind our faith. Doubt and do without. Active faith removes doubt from our lives.
Hallelujah. Number five, verbal assassins. Have you ever had someone talking poorly, ugly, or even mean-spirited about you, but yet you had no clue why they were so adamant in their dislike of you? Most often, it's not personal. The enemy is using them to go after the Jesus in you. It's also true that the only way some people can feel good about themselves, well, is by putting other people down and or talking about things that are detrimental to others. In the workplace, some people feel the only way they can be promoted is plotting to bring you or others down.
Psalm 140, verse 4 in the Message Bible says, God, keep me out of the clutches of these wicked ones. Protect me from these vicious ones. Stuffed with self-importance, they plot ways to trip me up, determined to bring me down.
Our best defense is to forgive those who attack, slander us, and then allow God to deal with them.
Amen. Ephesians 4:32 in the Classic Amplified says, and become useful and helpful and kind to one another, tender-hearted, compassionate, understanding, loving-hearted, forgiving one another readily and freely as God in Christ forgave you. God will keep the books and bring you out all right.
Yes, he does.
Doing his will.
Yes, he does.
Number six, the gossiper. Wow. There are many advantages to growing up and living in a small town. There is, however, one thing that can be a bit annoying from time to time. Everybody knows everybody else's business. My husband used to say he was reminded of a woman who said, I don't gossip, so I'm just going to say this to you one time, so you better listen closely.
That's true.
The point is, why do people gossip? Well, it's sin.
That's right.
I mean, head and tails all the way around.
No other way to say it.
That's it. Ephesians 4:29 in the Classic Amplified says, let no foul or polluting language, nor evil word, nor unwholesome or worthless talk ever come out of your mouth, but only such speech as is good and beneficial to the spiritual progress of others, as is fitting to the need and the occasion, that it may be a blessing and give grace, God's favor, to those who hear it. If you read through the Proverbs, you'll see that there are many ways in which the Lord talks about how to deal with this type of situation. But this verse is not just a scriptural suggestion. It's really a directive on how to be positive when so much negative is going on. But let's say this. When you visit a doctor's office, the first thing the doctor or the nurse says is, you know, what used to be back in the day for sure, stick out your tongue, which then they would examine, you know, your throat with a tongue suppressor. The medical profession, as they hold the tongue down while period, they want you to say, ah, you know, remember those days?
It's hard to
until,
do.
Until the advent of medical technology. Then they would place a thermometer under your tongue to take your temperature. The tongue reveals a lot about what's going on in the rest of the body, interestingly enough. And Psalm 141, verse 3 in the Living Bible kind of shows us something. It says, help me, Lord, to keep my mouth shut and my lips sealed.
Wow.
That will keep us out of a lot of trouble.
No doubt about it. Number seven, the pouter. People pout when they don't get their way. A pouter will complain. Often pouters are ungrateful and even sometimes bitter because they aren't getting their way. Pouters also have a persecution complex because they tend to think everybody's against them and nothing ever goes their way. You ever had children who went from, well, when they went to their room and pouted because they didn't get their way? Truthfully, there are some adults who unwisely pout against their spouse. I've counseled people where sex and or money was withheld in marriage because of a pouting spouse not getting his or her way. Pouting can lead to unwholesome and negative attitudes. And truthfully, it also opens you up to attack of the enemy.
In 1 Corinthians 10, verse 10, in the Classic Amplified Bible, it says, "Nor discontentedly complain as some of them did, and were put out of the way entirely by the destroyer," meaning death.
And the people who pout often gravitate to people who will commiserate with them, and that's spiritually dangerous. So you guessed it, no pouters on our island. In summarizing our calls from today and yesterday, I want to ask you several questions and offer some scriptural advice on how to deal with these seven folks. First, can we be friends with these seven groups of people? Yes. Second, are we to include these seven types of people in our inner circle? No. And finally, how can we help these type of folks? Simple. Be like Jesus. We love them with the love of the Lord.
In John 15, verse 9 in the Classic Amplified, it says, "I have loved you just as the Father has loved me. Abide in my love. Continue in his love with me." We have compassion on them because Jesus had compassion on us. And in Matthew 9, verse 36 in the Classic Amplified, it says, "When he saw the throngs, he was moved with pity and sympathy for them because they were bewildered, harassed, and distressed, and dejected, and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd." We confront and comfort them with the word. That's the best ammunition and the only ammunition we need to use. In John 14, verse 27 in the Classic Amplified, it says, Jesus gives us these words, which are so comforting. It says, "Peace I leave with you, my own peace I now give and bequeath to you. Not as the world gives do I give it to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Stop allowing yourself to be agitated and disturbed, and do not permit yourselves to be fearful and intimidated and cowardly and unsettled."
Now, I want to tell you, that's some good advice for this tremendous Tuesday and every other day of the week.
Amen.
And you might want to think about this and just analyze the people in your inner circle.
Yeah, we had one of our partners yesterday texted us and said, "You can come to our island." I said, "Yeah, you can come to ours too."
That's exactly
right.
Praise
the Lord.
Hallelujah. Go to haroldherring.com. Check out this week's two-minute video. If you've been blessed by the teaching and the outreach of the ministry, just ask God what seed he'd have you sow. Do what he says. That's all we ever ask. And until tomorrow morning at 8:30 Eastern, God bless you. Happy trails.
And keep thinking rich thoughts.
We love you. We appreciate you. God bless you. Bye-bye.